So Christian and I were talking a little bit this afternoon. What's the difference between doing an invitation after the singing on Sunday night versus doing a lesson? And I said probably about 15 to 20 minutes. So hopefully we're going to spend about 15 minutes just kind of building on the thoughts that have been put forth in the songs that we've sung. And I personally want to thank Alan for the effort that he puts into putting these things together for us and finding a commonality and helping us to recognize that when we sing, we should be singing with a spirit and an understanding. And when there's a nice common theme that flows through, it's always a wonderful thing for us to be able to do that. I didn't tell him that I was going to close down his show, but I am going to go ahead and pull up something for our lesson here very quickly this evening. And I wanted to look at the idea of when we worry. And you'll kind of wonder, but you'll see in just a minute, why we've got a rocking chair sitting in the beginning of our picture. But before I do anything, when we worry, basically we torment ourselves with or suffer from disturbing thoughts or we fret. This would be synonymous with the idea of being anxious. And the question that's being asked tonight, why be anxious or why worry? I have a quote here that I'd like to read. It says, "During stressful times, when unpaid taxes still lie on the table, the children argue upstairs, and images of war flash across the news, hope and patience seem hard to come by. Worry seems inevitable. But how much can we really gain from our furrowed brow? Consider this quote," and here's our rocking chair. "Worry is like a good rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere." Or another way to think of the futility of worry is to imagine someone carrying around a suitcase of old junk that he doesn't use. If he complained to you about his aching back, wouldn't you just suggest that he drop the suitcase? If he complains about all the old junk, wouldn't you just ask him to drop the suitcase? But we tend to do the same thing, feeling troubled, tired, pulled off balance. We hang on to our burden because we think something bad might happen if we let it go. But the answer is so easy. If we simply let go, if we trust in the Lord, we will suddenly feel lighter. And we mentioned worry defined is simply to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts or to fret. I looked up some famous quotes about worry that we find in the world today. "Blessed is the person who is too busy to worry in the daytime and too sleepy to worry at night." Or we could replace that like we often do with the Beatitudes. "Happy is the person who is too busy to worry in the daytime and then unable to do so because he's tired at night." The reason why worry kills more people than work is that more people tend to worry than to work. Don't worry about what's ahead. Just go as far as you can go, and from there you'll be able to see further. Makes sense to us, doesn't it? When we look off in the distance, we reach that point in the distance, and we now have a new point to look at. A little bit further. "People get so in the habit of worry that if you save them from drowning and put them on a bank to dry in the sun with hot chocolate and muffins, they wonder whether they're catching a cold. Forget about the safety you've just been given and find something else to worry or to fret about." And again, we have a couple more here. We spend precious hours fearing the inevitable. "It would be wise to use that time adoring our families, cherishing our friends, and living our lives." And then probably the easiest one to remember and probably my favorite, I'm not sure who said this, but he said, "Worrying never did anyone any good. So why bother? Worrying never did anyone any good." And if you look here, we have some things popping up on the screen for us that people worry about today. Their daily provisions, their job situation. They worry about the future, what may or may not happen. They worry about their life, the possibility of death, their health. They worry about personal family relationships. They worry about making sure they're pleasing other people. They worry over finances, the interest rates, the stock market, and some even worry about possibly sharing their faith and what that might do. But you can see, we've all found ourselves probably at some point or another in this situation worrying or fretting over some of these things that we've looked at. But why do we do that is the question that's been asked in the song service tonight. Here's some advice that we find from the world. They say, don't worry, it's just a waste of time. They say, don't worry, because the situation isn't real. Don't worry about it, it's not really what you think it is. How about, don't worry, it may just never happen. Don't worry, take control. Don't worry, this was probably put together by the insurance people, but buy enough insurance for everything. Don't worry about it, just prepare for it. Laugh your troubles away. Or we've often heard a person say, you just need to bite the bullet and do it. Don't worry about the consequences. It might get better. How about the idea of simply stay busy and take your mind off it? Or another great one, don't worry, have another drink. That'll calm you right down. Don't worry, go see a therapist. And don't worry, it may all be over soon. But the question we want to ask ourselves very quickly is, what should the Christian's attitude be toward worry? And I'd like you, if you would, to turn to Psalm the 37th and look at verses 1 through 7 with me very quickly. That's Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. So what do we see our minds should be as Christians when we deal with the idea of worry? I think the first key word that we find in there is found in verse 3. We need to trust. If we're not going to worry, we need to trust in the Lord God. And trust, as we all know, is simply another word for faith, which is, in fact, the foundation of the religion that brings us here today, is it not? We need to trust or have faith that we will be taken care of. We're reminded in Scripture that the Christian life begins in faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We also have a reminder in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, and we're also reminded in Hebrews the 11th chapter and verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. So we know that we need to trust or have faith in God. And Romans 1:17 reminds us Christians are to live by faith. And Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7, remind us that the peace of God comes through faith. And when we have peace, we have no worry. We have no anxiousness about what may come. Very quickly, the second thing that I think we look at is in verse 4, we see that we need to delight. We need to take delight in things, to take pleasure in the things that God has given to each and every one of us. Not so much spending time about worrying what tomorrow may bring, but being thankful for what today itself is bringing already or has brought to us. So we look a little further, we should take great pleasure in the Lord. Our walk with him is where our delight needs to be. What gives us pleasure reveals the reality of our faith. Consider a couple of points here. If money is our delight, we'll worry at the thought of losing it. If that's where our delight hangs, then yes, we will worry about losing it or not having any. If success is our delight, we will worry at the thought of failure or not being successful. When Christ is our delight, we will find pleasure in reading His Word and in prayer. And this will bring about the peace that removes our fret and our worry. The third thing that I find in this passage is that we need to commit. And what does that mean? To commit is to entrust something to another person. To be willing to entrust something to another's hands. To take something that's of great value and be willing to give it to someone else and trust and believe that they'll be able to take care of it. You know, I had a good example of this. Recently, Ernest experienced some car troubles, and so we entrusted our car to him to use while he waits to get that fixed. He returned in kind. He took care of it. He waxed it and cleaned it up for us. So you see, there is a reward, though, when something is entrusted, that there is benefit for you as well. Our reward will be a home in heaven if we entrust ourselves to God. But there will be some return for us being willing to entrust or to commit our way and our lives to the Lord. This means we give Him our trials, our treasures, our todays, and our tomorrows. He gets it all. We are to fully entrust, and that means we hold back nothing. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, we entrust all of our cares and our time to Him. And we understand as Christians that at the point of baptism, we do in fact entrust or commit our souls to Jesus Christ. And we can safely entrust our future to Him. That should fight off worry and give us peace. We should know that we can safely entrust our future to Him and it will be taken care of. We won't need to worry about what may happen. And the fourth major point that I see in this passage is the idea of rest. And to rest is simply to completely relax. Probably the most opposite definition that I can think of to being anxious. When you're anxious, you're amped up, you're a little hyper, you're a little giddy and going. When you're resting, you're relaxed. You feel a sense of calm. This is what we need to do when we find ourselves worrying. We need to seek rest. Christians are to seek that rest and relax in the love and the care that Jesus Christ gives to them. We have an advantage that the world today does not. We have a refuge. We have a place to run to, if you will. We have a place to go to find rest when we're weary. And that's something that we need to recognize. So it begs the question, why then are there so many anxious Christians? If we know what it is, if we know we have the opportunity to run to Christ for rest, why are there so many anxious Christians? Something that I think each and every individual needs to ask himself or herself. How can we fret or worry when the future is in the hands of a loving God? Ever think about that? There's a book out that was written, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Sinners have a reason to worry. Sinners have a reason to fret. We don't. We have a reason to find peace, to find rest, and know that we are in God's loving hands and He is taking care of each and every one of us. Resting in Jesus will in fact bring peace in our daily lives. The only way to find out if this is true is to simply do it. And it's not something that anybody in this audience can do for you. It's something that you have to do for yourself. And once you've tried it, you'll find it to be true, and it will become easier and easier. I want to go back, and I do want to reread Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 25 through 34. I can't think of a better text to consider the idea of dealing with worry. And really, asking the question, why worry or why be anxious? This is exactly the question that's being asked in this text, and it's being asked by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's consider his words in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 25 through 34 once again. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Or which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, or do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I want to go back and I want to look at a promise in verse 33 and remind you this is a promise. And do we recognize and do we emphasize and read it as a promise? The promise is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Don't worry. Don't fret. You don't need to. Simply seek after the Lord, and you'll get what you need, because your Father knows what it is that you need. You needn't worry at all. That's really the thoughts that I had prepared for this evening. Again, it's good to sit back, and I think it's important for each and every one of us to ask ourselves, why be anxious? Why be anxious when we have a loving Father who has promised to protect and to care for us? Why be anxious about what could happen in eternity if we know that we're following after God's rule and doing his commands? Not a one of us should be worried about where we'll be come judgment. We should be confident in the fact that we're going to be in a home in heaven with him if we followed his rules and followed his commands. That shouldn't be a worry at all. It should be like it was for Paul, where it's such an excitement that he's not sure if he's not ready to go ahead and leave the earth now so that he can be there. But if you have found yourself in a situation where you have been trapped in worry, where you have been struggling just a little bit, if you have any need that your brothers and sisters can share and help you with this evening,